challenged by Judaizers who were coming in and telling them that the gospel wasn't enough, that they had to get circumcised, and many other things they were being taught that were not true doctrinally, and so Paul had to write the book to correct some false doctrines. And so included in that, as we saw last week, was him having to defend his apostleship. Like we saw last week there in the beginning, I'm an apostle, verse 1, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. There's only 12 apostles. So Paul was number 12. He took the place of Judas Iscariot. The names of the 12 apostles will be engraved on the city of God that we read about in Revelation 21. So this book was written to do that. And starting in verse 6, we'll see that is the main focus of chapter 1. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our title tonight is Any Other Gospel. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your presence and power upon our service, upon this time in your word. Use it now to teach us and grow us. Thank you for it. And we love you in Christ's name. Amen. So you notice how Paul, even there, we'll get there, but even at the end, he said, the gospel that I've given you, the gospel of the grace of God, didn't come from man. It came directly through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if a person chooses not to believe that, it pretty much undoes about one-fourth of the New Testament, which was written by Paul. So Paul had a very special place in God's plan. Paul is the one who introduced us to the age of grace, to the church. It was a mystery before Paul. So let's look at our passage tonight. In verse 6, he's saying to the Galatian Christians, I marvel, I'm amazed that you've been removed. You've removed yourself from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he's saying that some of the ones at Galatia who had trusted Christ as Savior through the preaching of Paul had decided that these people bringing in another gospel were correct, and they chose to follow these false teachers. And Paul's saying, I marvel. And that's why he had to write the book, to correct this false doctrine. So he's talking here about the grace of Christ, and that is the name of Paul's gospel. Remember, we saw him refer to it as his gospel in Romans. We saw him refer to it as his gospel in the Thessalonians. So let's look at Acts 20:24. We'll just reconfirm that the name of the gospel that we preach is the gospel of the grace of God. The age in which we find ourselves dispensationally is called the age of grace. And it's the best age you could have chosen to be born in, trust me, is the age of grace. Notice Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? The gospel of the grace of God. Now let's look at Ephesians 3:2, and we'll see that Paul even refers to this time period in which we find ourselves as the dispensation of the grace of God. So this isn't just stuff that we made up. This is in the Bible. Amen. Ephesians 3:2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So notice who got this dispensational truth? Paul. He said it was given to me. Paul refers to it many times as his gospel. And he says, I am amazed, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel of the grace of God that I preached to you and taught you unto another gospel. Then as he says in verse 7, which is not another. In other words, there isn't another gospel that's a true gospel. It is a false gospel. As he says there, there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he's saying that there any other gospel perverts the true gospel, which is the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that teaches that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day, and if we'll trust him, we can receive eternal life. The gospel in the church age is so simple, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Acts 16:31. So this perversion was creeping into the church at Galatia, and God actually warned that this would happen. If you go to 2 Peter 2, we'll see this. 2 Peter 2, 1. This perversion of the gospel of Christ, I should say perversions of the gospel of Christ, God predicted that it would happen during the church age. And of course, here we are 2,000 years later, and there's so many perversions, we couldn't count them all tonight to the gospel of the grace of God. It says 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And now today we have people preaching that to go to heaven, you got to get baptized. That's a perversion of the gospel, isn't it? You have people teaching that to get to heaven, you have to do good works. That's a perversion of the gospel. Or to earn the kingdom or to earn a planet or whatever, you have to be faithful to the list of commandments that's been put out by their particular church group. That's a perversion of the gospel. They're all over and all around us as we've been studying on Sunday mornings in Sunday school. So just to drive the point home, Paul says in verse 8, even if it comes from an angel, it's not a true gospel. I love it that he put this in there. It's a great verse to share with a Mormon, by the way, because they teach that they are the Latter-day Saints, right? And that they got that their founder got the new gospel, which they teach and preach, from none other than an angel called Moroni. And if you look at any Mormon temple and you look at the top of the spire, there's a figurine up there blowing a trumpet. That is supposed to be the angel Moroni that met Joseph Smith and gave him the new gospel, which is, trust me, is very different than Paul's gospel in every possible way. But he says, even if it's from an angel. In other words, it's not going to come from an angel. If it did, it's still false. Look at 1 Kings 13:18. This was an example in the Old Testament where someone claimed that an angel spake unto him. We've preached through this story before, where this one old prophet wanted the prophet that was sent to pronounce a woe upon the city. He convinced him to come and have dinner with him, even though God said, whatever you do, don't stop. You go in, you preach, you leave, don't go to anyone's house. So the way he convinced him was to say, I'm also a prophet. Verse 18, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house. And the man believed him. He broke God's one command was don't stop. because another guy says, I'm a prophet, and an angel said, you're supposed to come to my house. And then God killed him for disobedience. An angel, he said, spoke to me. The founder of the Seventh Day of Venice says she got her book, if you want to call it, The Great Controversy, which is the foundational truth for their cult. Where did she get it? She had a dream. And she went to heaven, and an angel showed her the Ten Commandments and raised up the fourth one above the others, which is the Sabbath. And that was the foundational truth of their system, was the Sabbath. So Paul says, no, anything else is false. It's a perversion. And he says there in verse 8, any other gospel. It doesn't matter. There is no other gospel. He says, but the gospel that God gave to him. He says, and if someone does try to preach another gospel, no matter what changes they want to try to make, pardon me, no matter who they say it came from, could you get any stronger words than let him be accursed? That's some pretty strong words right there, isn't it? Let him be accursed. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:22. I don't know if you've ever heard the word anathema before, or anathema. I've heard people pronounce it both ways. So, you know what anathema means? It just means a curse to false teachers. And then Maranatha means, even so come Lord Jesus, basically. But he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. And then 2 John chapter 1, turn there quickly, in verse 10. God says, if somebody comes to your door with a false gospel, and any other gospel is a false, perverted gospel, God says, don't even let him into your house. That's what it says. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So you don't let him in your house, and when he leaves, you don't say, God bless you. Because he's not only on his way to hell, but he's also trying to lead other people to hell. So he's out doing Satan's work. So he doesn't need God's blessing. He needs salvation. And God says we have to protect the gospel. We have to stand for the gospel. Remember when we looked at Jude recently? Let's turn there quickly. In verse 3, we're told to contend for it. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Our faith is grounded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we don't have the gospel, what do we have? We don't have salvation. If we don't have salvation, we don't have anything. So that's the foundational truth of it all, is that Jesus died and rose again and offers us eternal life. That's the gospel. And Paul says, verse 9, I'm going to say it again. He says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So he's not holding any punches for these Galatian Christians, is he? Because some of them had already chosen to listen to and follow another gospel. He says, those preachers, they're cursed. They're the devil's preachers. He says, let him be accursed. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? He says in verse 11, I certify you that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I didn't get it from man, he says. Look down in verse 20. Of chapter 1, where he again affirms that this came straight from Jesus Christ, down in Galatians 1:20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. I affirm, I certify that this gospel came from God, and no one else. And we aren't going to preach through it tonight, but in verses 13 all the way down through verse 20, Paul elaborates on how he got this gospel. This is a part of Paul's life that we don't hear a lot about because we don't know much about it. But after we all know he got saved on the Damascus Road directly from God, and God sent him, remember, to a Gentile's house to get his sight back, get baptized. But he didn't then go to Jerusalem and go to Bible college with the other apostles. He went, as it says here, verse 13, "You have heard of my conversation, how I persecuted the church." Verse 14, "It profited in the Jews' religion among my equals." Verse 15, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So he's saying right after I got saved, verse 17, "I did not go to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me." Remember, he's the apostle born out of due season. "But I went into Arabia." He went out into the desert and returned again to Damascus. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter." So there's where Paul went to his Bible training. He had some special one-on-one training with God in the desert for 3 years. Imagine that. What a blessing that would be. This is all before he began preaching, all before he began church planting. He was in the desert for 3 years alone with God. And he's saying, that's where I was taught the gospel. That's where I received these revelations, was directly from God. I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't spend any time with the other apostles. And after all of that, then I went and found Peter. And as we'll see in chapter 2, then he even rebuked Peter. Imagine that. Somebody rebuked the first pope. I'm kidding. Anyway, Paul's saying, this gospel, verse 11, it was preached of me. It is my gospel. It came directly from God. God met with me for 3 years, gave it to me, and it is the only gospel. If there's any other gospel, let him be accursed. And notice Romans 2:16, which we looked at recently. We'll just see that phrase again, Romans 2:16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now, Paul is not being boastful or prideful. He's just being straight. He was the one that God chose to reveal the church age and to reveal the gospel of the grace of God to. And that's why he refers to it as my gospel. Look at Romans 16:25. We'll see it again. Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." And then 2 Timothy 2:8. We'll see it again. So it's not just in Romans. Also in the pastoral epistles, 2 Timothy 2:8. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." So he says there in verse 12, "I did not receive it of man. I was not taught it by man. I was taught it directly by God Almighty. I was alone with him." And again, we can choose to believe this by faith, or we can say, well, that makes Paul kind of uncertified, so we can kind of write off all of Paul's writings. But if you choose to do that, you're in serious trouble because you miss out on a big chunk of the New Testament. Well, and you'll go to hell because you don't trust the gospel of Jesus Christ and get saved. I can still remember way back my family on my dad's side is all United Methodist, which 100 years ago they would have been fine, but now it's just a social club. I can still remember when I first became a preacher, one of my relatives said, "Oh, you Baptists, you believe that women shouldn't be preachers." I said, "We just believe the Bible." And then I quoted the verse, 1 Timothy 2:12, "Suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man." She goes, "Oh, well, Paul wrote that." As if, well, if Paul wrote it, we don't really have to take it seriously. And there are people that believe that. That's pretty scary. So Paul is the one to whom this gospel of the grace of God that you and I preach was revealed. The mystery of the church age was revealed. Look at Ephesians 3:3. Well, we looked at verse 2, so let's look at it as a package, 3:2 and 3 of Ephesians. "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." What's the mystery? If you read it on down, it's the church. It's the body of Christ. The Jews and Gentiles would be part of the same thing if they trust Christ as Savior. But notice he says it was by revelation. It was directly from God Almighty that this information became known to man through Paul. So he's saying there is no other gospel but the gospel in the Word of God. Amen? That Christ died for our sins. He rose again. Or that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. That is the gospel that we preach. Paul said, if somebody comes along preaching any other gospel, if they try to change it even the slightest bit, let them be accursed. Remember that. That's some strong words. We're never, ever told. When it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're never told to be pragmatic about false gospels. Amen? We're told to contend for the gospel, to contend for the faith, and to stand for what's right and what's in God's word, the truth. So any other gospel is a false gospel. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this great passage from Paul. Lord, we just are so grateful at what you gave him and passed on to us through your word. And that through the gospel we have found salvation and eternal life and a home in heaven. And we can't thank you enough. And Lord, may we continue to share it with the lost. And Lord, when we're confronted with preachers of a false gospel, may we stand for truth with your word. We love you and pray in Christ's name.